It's another episode of Google Glass, and we're going to talk about a little problem with glass, why I'm not wearing my glass, and then, of course, how you can actually turn it into a secondary monitor, and a whole bunch more. This is This Week in Google Glass. Hey, everybody, Jeffrey Powers here from Geekazine. Think Magazine, put in a geek. You got Geekazine, you got me, Jeffrey Powers. Geekazine, of course, Jeff at twig.tv, T-W-I-G-G, the double G's for your Google Glass needs. And over to my other side here in stunning 1080 resolution, looking a little bit vignetted, Mr. Luke Wallace, looking a lot better than you did a week and a half ago.
I feel a lot better. Not nearly as stuttery as I felt last time.
Yeah, I did.
It's Luke at twig.tv. Remember, the double G's are for Google Glass, and thisweekingGoogleGlass.com, you can find all of our information and contact us.
There you go. And, of course, Luke Luca is your Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. So, it's been a very interesting kind of week and a half. Took the Monday off because we went up north to do some boating, and I was going to do some Google Glass stuff. But I don't know if the people out there haven't heard yet, but my Google Glass stopped working. And it kind of stopped working. Here's the story. On Friday, it got really hard to touch. I felt like I was really slapping the touchpad. It wasn't going forward or back. But then on Saturday, it just completely died. I had no touchability on my glass. So on Sunday, I called them up and I said, hey, look, you know, I need these for I'm going on media. I'm going on TV shows. I'm going on radio programs. I'm going on, you know, they want to do a newspaper article about it. I need this glass. And they said, there's two options you have. First of all, you have the overnight option. You've got to put down $1,500 on a card, or reserve a card, and then we send you a pair of glass. You send the old pair back. And, of course, if you don't send that pair back, you know, we're charging you $1,500, which is a standard practice here. But I didn't have $1,500 in my account because I just bought a pair of Google Glass. So I said, well, what's the other option? They go, well, the other option is we send you an RMA box. You put the glass in, you send it back, and then we send you a pair of Google Glass. And I said, how soon can you get it here? And they go, well, we can overnight all that to you. It'll overnight back, and you should have it by Friday. I said, okay, that's great. I can cancel the other stuff, but absolutely on Monday, I need it, this Monday morning. And let's just say the RMA box didn't show up until Wednesday. And I called them up. I said, I don't see this glass coming back here by Monday. And they go, well, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. And by Friday, they didn't have the glass. I don't even know if they have the glass at this point in time. So I had to cancel all the media appearances I was going to be on for this next week because of that. And then, of course, next week, I'm going to be going to L.A. for a different event. So any type of media exposure I get with this is going to be when I get back from L.A., which is going to be like August 3rd. And I'm really, really frustrated, really disappointed on that. And I told them a lot about it. I just was not happy on how they were handling this. And I don't know. If somebody tells you that I'm going to ship it to you overnight so you can send it back overnight, you expect it overnight, right, Luke?
Yeah, I would say at least within a couple of days. I mean, I would expect it by Tuesday because, you know, overnight isn't always overnight because of where it's coming from and where it's going to and all that. But it's usually within 2 days at kind of the latest. So, I think that upset pretty much anybody.
Yeah, so I just I was really frustrated. I'm doing a small fix on this screen right here. I was really frustrated, and I just didn't know what to do. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, is this Google Glass thing worth it? And because that's the biggest thing. I mean, $1,500 for technology that's probably $300 or $400. Is it worth it to have Google Glass? So, Luke, here's your 2 minutes of fame to explain to me and convince me to keep my Google Glass. Are you ready?
Oh, I don't know.
All right.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Ready? And go.
So this is probably the biggest push that there's ever been in wearable technology. We've seen things like the Sony smartwatch, and we've seen some, you know, the Pebble is getting real popular right now. But this is like the first, you know, wearable, like, heads-up display that we've seen. that's been pushed with this kind of, you know, effort from Google. And there have been older devices. And so I think this is the one that if any of these things are going to catch, you know, anytime in the next few years, it's going to be this one. So you're going to have to, you know, it's like if you want to be on board with the first one that really gets popular, you're probably going to have to go with this one. There'll probably be some copycat ones show up. I mean, we're already seeing some that are taking advantage of that. But Google also has great software support. They're consistently rolling out updates for it before launch. You would hope that that would continue after launch. They're taking a much more different approach than they did on their Android devices, where they're keeping a much better control on it. So in theory, it'll be something that they there isn't as much, you know, hardware fragmentation and software fragmentation from, you know, different versions running different OSs and stuff. So I think it's going to be more successful than any of those. So to be really on that bleeding edge of a new technology, this is the one you'd have to go with.
But here's the problem. When it comes out to consumer model, it's not going to be $1,500. It'll most likely be $500, which means that within by this time next year, that $500 pair of Google Glass will probably be about $250 to $300, so they can get rid of all the models, so they can get ready for the next version that'll come out, in 2015. And by then, I'll have a more streamlined version of Glass. I'll have a better-looking pair of Glass. And I just see I'm going to save myself $1,000 if I say, hey, just take them back. Thoughts?
The cost, effective way to do it is to wait the year. You know, I think it's great that there are people out there that are going to have them early. And so more people can try them than actually have to spend the $1,500. You know, I'm letting as many people as I can really try them on and, you know, get a feel for them, really see what it's like. Because, you know, they're not even going to have that opportunity until the consumer model comes out. So, yeah, it's definitely more cost effective. And now that you've had some experience with them, you know, is it something that you need to go about your day-to-day life? You know, probably not. You can you've gotten by before without them, so you don't need them, obviously. It's like you could buy one pair now and, you know, be in that first batch, or wait a year and, you know, be able to buy three pairs for the same money.
You're not really convincing me here, are you? You should have just pulled out the bottle and said, you get a bottle.
So the thing is, you can wear it now for a year before anybody else, and there's really no way that anybody else can get their hands on them. So, okay. You know, to be bleeding edge like that, and I mean, it's literally not even possible. Like, no matter how much money they have, they can't buy them. So, okay. You know, so there's that.
All right, you did convince me. I was kind of convinced already. Yes, I'm waiting for my Google Glass. Hopefully, they will show up tomorrow. If they show up tomorrow, I can do some more. Right now it's actually storming outside here in Madison, Wisconsin. So you might hear some thunder in the background. But I could have actually been taking pictures of the storm, some of the video of the storm. You could have been seeing what's going on. But I just haven't been doing. I think that's what frustrates me the most. We had so many events happen here over the weekend. We had our county fair happen over the weekend. We had just a whole schedule of stuff that I had planned for Google Glass, and it was all gone because I didn't have Google Glass. A lot of people are talking about that, and I'm not the only one that's having problems with Google Glass, and we're going to talk about that in a second. First of all, if you haven't gone over to the website, go over to thisweekingGoogleGlass.com, and it was here a second ago. the page showed up, the page went away. All right, we had a small little technical difficulty there. I forgot to add the audio to one of the screens here. But I want to tell you about This Week in Google Glass. Go over to www.twig.tv, twigg.tv, and you can get all your episodes. Plus, this button right here, it's called Donate to Twig. And we've got a special deal going here. If you donate to Twig, we need to cover our costs first. That's where this money is going to go to. And I'm not even talking about my Google Glass. We're talking about the app. Every month cost to actually run this show. It'll cover that. When we have a kitty, when we have anything left over, we're going to give it back to you guys. And this is how we're going to do it. If you still haven't got your Google Glass yet, we're going to help you pay for your Google Glass. You just have to tell us a story why you want Google Glass, just like they did with If I Had Google Glass. So, and of course, this is going to be ongoing. So if it's a year from now and Glass is out mainstream, we will help you get your Google Glass with these donations. So that's a big thing. And I know, Luke, you're very much on board this, correct?
Absolutely.
So just all you have to do is write a story. We've got a link up on the page that you can go to. Tell us your story. We're accepting them now, although I don't have enough donations to really give anybody money right now. But if you want to donate, donate $5, donate $10 towards the cause, and to keep everything going, to keep Twig running, and we'll go from there. So, all right, let's start with the biggest problem here. We're going over to the Google Plus page, over on the Glass Explorers page, guy by the name of Mike Brady. No, not that Mike Brady, the other Mike Brady. He's an actual Google Pluser, and he's shown us that we've been seeing this as we go. Apparently, there's a little piece of film on the edge of the lens of glass, and that film is to make sure that light doesn't prism inside the inside that little cube there, and you can actually see the screen. Well, apparently, in some situations, this piece of foil that's fastened to the end, or glued to the end or whatever, starts to buckle up, starts to, like, this looks like it has some sort of stucco design to it. And a lot of people are seeing this. Mike actually walked out. It was a 90-degree day. It was 63% humidity, nothing else. And he got back in, and he looked at that edge, and it was just like that. So is this a flaw? Is this something that could be a possible recall, or what do you think there, Luke?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably a manufacturing defect. I know I've taken mine outside quite a bit. I don't know if quite in those exact conditions, but I saw some people commenting on it saying they've taken it out in hotter, but it definitely seems like it could be a, you know, manufacturing issue, just depending on how they do that. So,
yeah.
Like we said, this is, you know, first version. So this is one of the other things that they learn, is they learn about the different hardware conditions. You know, if these were all developed in, you know, Mountain View, San Francisco area, I mean, that has a certain climate to it, you know, that a lot of people like, but it isn't where everybody else has. So hotter, much more humid.
Yeah. They don't have the humidity that, that we have, that you have down in Dallas, yeah. Texas. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is other things they're learning probably about, you know, just the manufacturing process and, you know, things like that. So hopefully they're able to get him repaired. And like you, they can hopefully take care of him quickly, even if it's not quite as quick as we'd all like.
Yeah. Well, right now, like I said, some people are saying that the replacement process has been up to 2 weeks. I have a feeling the sky blue pair that I picked, which I still think is going to be one of the least pair that people pick, might actually be a good decision in a situation like that. I'm pretty sure that if you picked shale, the black version, like you have there, and you have a problem with your glass, you're going to be waiting a little bit longer.
Yeah. So. I don't know. But yeah, it'd be nice if they had stores set up kind of like Apple stores or something where you could just walk in, hand them one and get a replacement,
yeah,
you know, on the spot. So you wouldn't have to wait the 2 weeks. So
yeah,
who knows?
That was the third option. The third option was to actually go and pick up another pair. And it's like, are you kidding?
And you're like, are you kidding me?
Well, actually, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, you know, I'm going to be in L.A. next week, so I could actually do that. So yeah. I'm hoping to get them before I go to L.A. next week. But we'll see what happens. Yeah. All right, let's move on from there. Big thing to worry about, watch the end of your Google Glass. It all it does is it makes it harder to see the actual screen. So if you put your finger over the lens, you'll see it a little bit better. It doesn't affect with any of the camera work. It doesn't affect with anything else. It's just, I don't know, you could probably even put a piece of tape over that end and actually get a better view over that, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move on here. We're going to go over to CNET.com. And as you know, as you can see, I've added the screens here. Google's bought stake in Glass. The glass display maker Himax, and do you know what Himax actually did in glass there?
Reading that article, it wasn't extremely clear if they made the prism or the little projector inside that kind of shoots into the prism. It sounds like it's definitely some component that is not common to cell phones. So it's probably not the processor. It's not the memory or the battery or anything like that. So I think it's got to be something related to that display. I mean, at least that's how the article reads. They don't go into a lot of detail.
But. Yeah. Well, at any rate, they did purchase 6.3%. It's a very small stake in this company, and you got to wonder if they're planning to actually take a full part of this, or if this is just a company that's fulfilling something at this point in time, and they're hoping for somebody else to come along and do it a little bit better. I don't know. So we'll have to see and wait and see. But right now they have 6.3% interest in Himax. And of course, as they ramp up, I'm guessing that they're going to put in a little bit more money. That way, their cost back for production of Google Glass will be a lot cheaper. So if you want to.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what it mostly was. It's just an investment kind of in the company so they have more cash on hand so they can ramp up their production. So, yeah, maybe that makes glass even cheaper. So maybe you get down to like a $300 price point, $200 price point. I think at that price point, you get a lot more people interested in it.
And I get my five pairs of Google Glass. I'll wear them right on top of each other. Have you ever thought, you know, maybe they should make a stereo pair of Google Glass? I actually showed it to somebody this weekend, the broken pair, of course. And they looked at it, and he goes, well, that's okay, but I can't use it. And I go, why is that? And he goes, because I'm blind in my right eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, first of all, this is a guy that I've known for years, and I had no clue that he had a vision impairment on one eye. He hit it really well. And so, he goes, I can't use this. So, and I know there's been a lot of people that have been modding their glasses. One person actually took the bow off and zip tied it to their glasses and stuff like that. But, do you think we're going to see a stereo pair or a left side, right side there anytime soon?
Yeah, I've talked to people about this before. It seems pretty likely that they'll have a left eye option. It may be something that you have to order special. It may be, you know, they probably won't do as many of them. You know, they probably won't do them even. I mean, they could. It's always possible that they just even them out. But I would guess that they'll probably do 95% of them right eye, and then the left eyes will all be special order, or they'll be harder to find or something.
Yeah.
But they will want to support it just for, you know, people like your friend. I've met people before like that they said the right eye's a lot worse, and so they prefer it on the left side or something like that. So
yeah,
it seems like that's something that you'll get.
Well, here's the problem in production, and you know, when the article came out, there was an article that came out today that said that Apple was looking at different size versions of iPad, and I talked about this on one of my blogs. It's like if you create one thing, like one iPad, you could make 100,000 iPads and send them out the door. If you make two versions of iPad, you now have to make 50,000 of one or 50,000 another, or a 60-40 mix or a 70-30 mix.
Yeah.
And you never know which one's going to be it could turn out that the 30 might be the popular one, and you've just spent 60% of your cash flow on the one that didn't work. Well, now you have Google Glass that comes in five colors. And then if they have a left and a right, that means you've got 10 versions of that. And, of course, they're probably going to come out with more colors. So that adds 20 or 30 for something that probably costs about $100, $150 to make. And so you got to figure out, do I buy 10 of each, or do I buy 5 of this, 4 of this, 2 of this, and then hope that that they'll want that instead of the other one?
Yeah. You start off with limited production runs probably and just kind of see where the demand falls, and you know, if you don't have to make more of the orange left eye version because you know those haven't sold out, then you know you kind of cut back production on those. But yeah, I mean, it's a hard problem. You know, making real things I think is a challenge, and Google always has some amount of trouble with that. Their software stuff is amazing, I think, but their hardware, you know, they have a lot of these hardware issues where they run out of things, or they're not ready for them, or something like they've sold out of, you know, lots of different devices because they underestimated demand, and you know they have to actually physically make things. And so you know, I would say Google's getting better at it, but they're still not as good at it as Apple, who, you know, they can roll out iPads and you know, they have all those different configurations on launch day, and everything comes out and you just hear about everything going smoothly. But
I still believe it's the whole fact that Apple controls their hardware as much as their software, whereas Google or even Microsoft just basically says, okay, you can put it on an Acer, you can put it on an HTC, you can put it on an LG, and then the manufacturers have to deal with it. But ultimately, it just comes back to them as a bad mark on their name, and go from there.
And they may be correcting with Glass, like I said. You know, they're not opening all this up as much as they did with Android. It seems like they're not saying, oh yeah, and you'll be able to put it on your own Glass hardware and stuff. And you're not hearing anything about that. Unlike when Android launched, they talked about how to be on lots of different phones and all the different manufacturers and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they may be taking a more Apple approach to Glass just in general, of controlling more of the hardware so they can do all that stuff themselves.
Well, there you go. So, all right. Well, that article is over at CNET. We're going to move on here really quick. We're going to go over to a website called XBit. And basically, you might have heard this already, there is a Wi-Fi vulnerability, and it has to do with the QR code. Now, Luke, what? Let me say that again. Luke, tell us a little bit about what's going on here.
So my understanding of it is basically, and I know this part is true, when you want to set up a Wi-Fi network on Google Glass, we talked about this last week, so if you want to hear a little bit more about this, you watch last week's show. But when you set up your Wi-Fi, you actually type in the credentials either on your phone or on your laptop on their website, and it generates a QR code with the Wi-Fi ID and the password and all that stuff. And then your Glass looks at that and scans the QR code, pulls all that information out, and jumps on that Wi-Fi network. And so basically what this vulnerability was that it was a little too aggressive in jumping on Wi-Fi networks that it found in QR codes. And so you could show a QR code, and if somebody had a QR code that had kind of maybe their cell phone or their laptop's private Wi-Fi network that had, you know, packet sniffers and all that stuff running on it, they could basically get you to jump on their Wi-Fi by showing a QR code at the right time. I think it had to be during the setup. I don't know if it was just any time when you were taking a picture.
Yeah.
I think it had to be kind of during initial setup. You could basically fall into this QR code a little too aggressively. Like, it was kind of checking in the background a little bit. So basically now you've had control on the Wi-Fi network, and then there were some vulnerabilities, or there are some vulnerabilities, I don't know if they've all been patched, where you could actually get control of the Glass through that compromised Wi-Fi network that you also had control of.
Yeah.
What they did say is that Google rolled out patches for this a month or so ago. It may have been an XE6 or XE7. I did notice that the Wi-Fi setup changed a little bit with those versions. So
actually, I think it was XE5.
XE5. It may have been XE5 that it rolled out. And that was shortly after Glass was released, or around I.O. time. So it's been patched for a little while. So it was kind of a... this is more of just a notification that there was this vulnerability that had been found. But it's not technically a vulnerability anymore, although I think you could still probably do it if you got the QR code at the exact right time when the user basically said, yes, I'm setting up on my Wi-Fi network, now let me pick the QR code. And if you pick some random stranger's QR code to use, well, okay, maybe you should use the one that you control.
Well, one thing that I was considering, because I couldn't connect to any Wi-Fi while I didn't have the touch functionality. But I thought to myself, well, Jennifer has actual tethering on her phone. I was thinking, well, if she changed her SSID to the SSID at my house with the password, I could actually connect up that way. So if they know, well, or if you're like in a hotel, this is another big example. You're in a hotel, and you log into their Wi-Fi, and it says, "Oh, it's absolutely free. You don't have to worry about that." But then, a lot of Wi-Fi pages have like a credential page instead of asking you a web ID or something like that. You are directed to a web page where you got to put a username and password in. And if you get stopped from that way, somebody could actually push out another SSID, which could be actual malware that looks close to the hotel name, and you think, well, that's part of the hotel, so you just connect up to there, and the next thing you know, you're in heck, because we're talking hockey sticks here.
Yeah, I worry about that when I go to hotels sometimes. I'm like, wait, like, you see all these Wi-Fi spots that are all open, and you're like, which one's the hotel one? Do I really trust any of these? You know, even because how hard is it for someone to spoof an SSID?
Exactly.
You know, just because you can name it whatever you want anyway. So people can say, oh, yeah, this is the fast Hyatt, or, you know, this is the fast, you know.
The one thing about hotels that I really like is the fact that they still have a wired connection. So what I do is on my MacBook, I plug in my MacBook, and then I turn on internet sharing. And with internet sharing, I can then SSID from my laptop to Glass or my iPad or, well, not my iPhone anymore. For some of you who don't know, my iPhone was stolen last week. So so the whole point is that, that, you know, use something safe. Don't go for the other ones. And, of course, if you're offered a QR code, don't take it. The bad, bad QR codes. Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the tip. If some guy's walking around with a T-shirt with a QR code that's like, free Wi-Fi, it's like, maybe watch out.
You know, I've been getting into actually doing some screen printing. Maybe I'll do a screen print with a QR code on it, and I'll say, don't scan this, and I'll put it on one T-shirt, and then I'll go to certain events, and I'll see how many people scan this QR code, and it'll just go to a web page saying, I told you not to. You know, like maybe, what's his name from Jurassic Park? He goes, I don't know. I entertain myself. So anyway, if you want to read more about that, go over to XBit Labs about this high Wi-Fi vulnerability. We're going to move on from here. Like I said, we're trying to be sponsor free, but we do need to pay some bills. So I'm going to show you this for all you Google Glass aficionados out here, and that is the Lego Star Wars Zip Bin Millennium Falcon minifigure case. And you're going, I don't collect Legos. No, but apparently, this is like the best case for your Google Glass. And a lot of people are buying them. You can get them at most stores. But there's a 23% discount over on Amazon.com if you go to my link over at thisweekingGoogleGlass.com and click on there. And, of course, it helps This Week in Google Glass. So thank you very much, and we'll go from there. All right, let's move on. We've got two more articles here. We're going over to Forbes.com. All the Google Glass alike products. One of them was this Recon that I've been seeing a lot. And in fact, I went to the page, and afterwards, all my ads showed up with this Recon glass. And there's also a Kickstarter out there with another one, which I was looking at the glass, and it looked kind of cheesy, kind of like, 3D glasses from 1956 or something like that.
Yeah.
So have you seen those?
Yeah, I've seen them. I guess, like I was saying before, you know, like there's a certain cool factor that I guess Google has been going for and stuff. And so some of these other ones are definitely cheaper, but they kind of look cheaper. And, you know, it's like, I think if you want the technology, and then I think the real power is in the software. Like, you know, how are you going to be able to do Google searches on it? Are you going to be able to take pictures with it and share them easily and all that kind of stuff? And so.
Well, there have been camera glasses for years now. In fact, Recon, I believe it is. We see them every single year at CES, and they show us the latest, greatest pair of glasses that they have with a video recorder right smack dab in the middle of the glasses. And that's all well and good, because that serves a completely different purpose. In fact, you probably shouldn't ski down a hill with your Google Glass on.
I would.
Yeah, you'd want to have regular goggles on. So that's perfect for that. But there are some competitors that are doing some augmented reality, and like I said, there's a Kickstarter out there an Indiegogo campaign, not a Kickstarter, and it's called Glass Up. And if you want to check that out, you can go over to Forbes.com. Are you going to be looking at, because some of these are actually going to have Android bases on them? Are you planning on looking at any of these alternative glasses?
Well, I'll probably take a look at them and just kind of see, you know, people that don't know, I work at a mobile development shop, and so we work in iOS and Android. And so, you know, we're always looking for, the next big thing and looking at, not just the Samsung ones, but, you know, the actual, you know, next big things and, you know, keeping our eyes open, trying to make sure we keep an eye on everything going on. And so, I don't know if it's something that we'll develop for, you know, specifically.
But you'll try it, at least.
It's something that we definitely be interested in, because, you know, we do have people that know how to program in Android, and I know how to do that, and so it's, you know, it can make sense to, you know, it's a very low bar to be able to do something on it and kind of see how well it works.
There you go. All right. Well, if you want to read more on that, on the different versions of glass that are out there, or whatever they're calling it now, you can check it out over at Forbes.com. And we'll have the link in the show notes. Go over to thisweekingoogleglass.com and you'll get there. All right. Last article actually over on the other website, howtouseGoogleGlass.com is a website that I put together. I found out another hack over on Plus, guy by the name of Raphael, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this last name because it is pretty long. But anyway, he found a way to connect glass to a MacBook using the ADB software. So basically it turns glass into a secondary monitor, which is probably not great. He said he tried to watch a YouTube video off of it and it wasn't that great. Although YouTube now has the 166p, so you can dumb it down for Google Glass. But, you know, like a Twitter hand, you get some tweets coming up or something like that, it'd be kind of cool. Maybe somebody will develop some sort of interesting game for it where you connect it up as an external monitor. Have you done any of this with the ADB in Glass yet?
No, I haven't tried sideloading apps onto Google Glass yet. But it's not real tricky. Google explained how to do that in some of their I.O. videos from this year, if anyone out there is interested. You don't have to void the warranty to do that. That's all completely safe to do. You're not ruining anything with your glass. You know, Google will still support it if you have any sort of hardware issues like we've been talking about tonight. So it's perfectly safe to load apps on it. And this one apparently works pretty well, enough that at least that you can see what's going on. It's a really interesting idea. It makes me wonder, could you do that kind of thing for presentations or other things that you're doing on the computer where you really need to not be looking at your computer? You want to be looking at your audience or something else, but you want to have that little heads-up display. This might be a really clever way to get information onto Glass that you don't have to develop software for. You basically can just kind of set up a little window on your Mac and say, yeah, send this over to my Glass.
So. Oh, I got a perfect example. You're up there giving a speech. Mm-hmm. Instead of having those monitors in front of you, you have it right here, and you go, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears or your Google Glass because I need them so I can tell you the speech. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I never thought of that. That's not a bad idea. Somebody should definitely look into some sort of prompter software that could work pretty well. And, of course, to make it easy, you probably would have to mirror it. I wonder if you mirrored Google Glass with your regular screen, would it then all of a sudden shrink your regular screen to, like, 166p?
I'm not sure. It depends on how that software works, I guess. So.
When I get my Google Glass, that's the first thing I'm going to do. I already have the ADB software on here. But if you go over to howtouseGoogleGlass.com, I got some great tutorials I'm working on. Of course, I talk about how to connect up the Wi-Fi, all about the QR codes, and then, of course, this article right here, using Glass as an external monitor. As I get my Glass back, I'll do some more instructional video on how to use Google Glass back and forth. Hook up to the Android, and then, of course, show you the screens and stuff like that, and go from there. So, all right, did you have anything to add? Any articles that we need to look over? Or?
No, I wanted to hear a little bit. You were talking about on the last show, you had just gotten back from getting your Google Glass, but there were a few things you were able to do before you got back. I saw some videos on your Google Plus from when you were drumming and
and
you were going around to some different things, and it looked really interesting. It was some really cool video.
You know, and I was going to show that, and I completely forgot about it. Let me pull it up here really quick. Yeah, so what happened was on Friday, I got behind my drum set, and let me see if I can find this really quick. I decided to play the drums while I was behind the drum set, and then turn on Google Glass and play. And one of the favorites that everybody had was the when I was playing a song called Radar Love. So let me pull this up really quick. And we were in Madison when I did this. I'm almost there. I took a lot of pictures. Holy Moses! And of course, this weekend they had Art Fair on the Square. While I still had glass, so I went up there. We had a couple other events. And then I took it out on the boat with us. I didn't get it wet, but I did take it out on the boat with us.
So you said the touchpad was broken, but was the little camera button broken?
Camera button was working fine. That's the only reason why I took it out there. So Okay,
so you can still take pictures and video.
Yep. All right, here
you use voice control for everything else.
Here we go. Here's some of the pictures here. Let me pull it over. You won't be able to see this, Luke, but you'll have to look on the show later. So there's one of the pictures. That's a friend of ours, Dan. He's also a musician. And then did some Art Fair on the Square stuff. Here's one of the videos. I think this is going to play. And maybe. I'm allowing. Don't worry. Play. Yes, I want you to play. It's not good. It's having problems. So, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Here's another one. You'll see this on the video later. This was at the Art Fair on the Square. They had these wireframe people. This person just took wire and turned them into people. And then there was a couple people, they put LED lights in there. You walked into this room, and then you saw this thing, and they were just moving around, and this came from glass. It was very, I thought this was one of my best videos that I've taken so far. And but anyway, if you want to check it out, go over to my profile over on Google+, and you'll see all the pictures that I've posted. Once I get my Google Glass back, I'll be doing that all over again, because, Luke, you convinced me to go, I should go get my Google Glass.
Well, yeah, that's my job, I guess.
All right. Well, Luke, tell us where they can find you. Where they can find you.
Yeah. So that's Luke Luca on Twitter, LukeLuca. You can also email me for this show at luke@twig.tv. That's twigg.tv. That's a shorthand for This Week in Google Glass. And that has links to my Google+ profile. You can contact me through that, or contact me on Twitter or that email address, and ask questions, and we'll try to answer them and answer them on the next show and give you a little shout out.
All right, and you can find me at Geekazine, Think Magazine, put into Geek, and of course Jeff at twig.tv. I got a few more pictures I'm going to post up here of the city of Madison, Wisconsin, and there's an airplane flying by, a couple of pictures of me and some vans and stuff like that. I'm going to pass them by really quick. You can check it all out. We will be back. We won't be back next week because I'm going to be in L.A., but we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of This Week in Google Glass. Luke, take the week off, have some fun, and take some cool pictures, and then we'll see you in a couple weeks, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. My name is Jeffrey Powers. Thanks a lot for watching and listening over, and we'll be up on Stitcher hopefully by the end of this week, so you can check it out over there. This is This Week in Google Glass.